there is, you know, incredible academic preparation happening here, incredible spiritual preparation and maturation and growth happening here.
My success stories have really just been one after another. They're successful to me because I love to see people's lives change.
It was a remarkable experience.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. I'm here on the campus of Brigham Young University, Idaho, and joining me today is Tiffany Peterson. Tiffany, welcome.
Hi, friend. So nice to see you.
So nice to see you. Now, I assume you're at your home in Salt Lake. Is that right, Tiffany?
Yes, I'm based here in Sugar House, Utah, which is a little suburb of Salt Lake City.
Oh, so good to have you. In the days of COVID, then this is how we do things, Zoom, and you're becoming a veteran of Zoom too, I believe, with the stuff that you do. Tiffany is a presenter, a life coach. You can find her at tiffanyspeaks.com. And we're going to talk a lot about what she does today and also about your background. Let's do talk about your career path. Are you from this area, from the Salt Lake, Utah area originally, Tiffany?
Yeah, I grew up here in Salt Lake in Cottonwood Heights area and went to school here and went to the University of Utah. I think is that okay to say when you're at Brigham Young University, Rexburg?
It's all good. We love everyone. So it's
we're all friends, right? The University of Utah was founded by Brigham Young, so I think we have that connection.
Yeah,
at
that's
least.
Right.
I grew up here, and initially I thought I was going to be a special needs teacher and be a traditional educator in a classroom. And my life path went on a very different path and got into training and development and so forth. But yeah, I've always had this like teacher heart. I just thought it was going to look a different way than the way it's evolved.
You know, when you were starting out, what drew you to like special education and those kind of things? What was it that about that you liked?
You know, I will just honestly, I'll say that's a God plant, because meaning I don't know where that desire came from. I just always had this soft spot for kids with disabilities and just this tender heart towards it, and always have. And I went on to school and thought that's what I was gonna do. And I worked in a few classrooms as an aide while I was doing my education. And then by happenstance, I went on a double date in college with this couple, and the woman of the couple we were with, her father had a training and development company. And it was really fascinating to me to learn about what they were up to. And a few months later, I saw an ad in the newspaper and I interviewed with them and went to work for them. And as we would say, it changed the course of my life and put my life on a very different path professionally. So that's how I became aware of Franklin Covey. And I went on to work for Franklin Covey for years, and then Rich Dad Poor Dad and Jack Canfield, and helped some of these big brands make millions and millions of dollars in personal coaching. Mm-hmm. And this is back, Brian, before, you know, coaching's a big buzzword now.
Sure.
You know, that industry has changed so much, and I've watched it grow up. But the reality is when I first got started selling for Franklin Covey, you know, 7 Habits coaching programs over the phone, back in 2001, we were still explaining to people what a coach concept was. Because a lot of times they'd be like, oh, like a sports coach? And it's like a personal mentor that's going to help you with these principles. And now we have coaching is so mainstream. It's been fun to watch that world change. But yeah, my life path very different than, like many of you listening or watching can probably relate, that life looks different than the way you planned or originally thought it was going to go, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the funny thing is I've had students I advise here at BYU Idaho for the first time come and say, I want to be a life coach. And I hadn't heard that before until the last year or two, which is very interesting. I said, well, that's good. So, but to be a life coach, then you got to live some life. So look for some experiences as
well. You need some life under you. So my background heavily was in sales for a long time. And I went on to be a top 10 producer for the Franklin Covey coaching group and was their first female to do that. And again, the thing that was so funny is I never in a million years thought I'd be in sales, right? Like you don't think I'm going to be in sales. No, you think I'm going to be a school teacher or a doctor, or, you know, I'm going to stay at home and raise babies. I just thought I was going to be a teacher and then be a mom and stay at home and sew Halloween costumes. And, you know, life just looks, again, very different than that path for me. But the reality is that I loved people and I loved education. And so being in coaching, training, development was such a fit. It just looked different. But I went on to have an amazing sales career and very decorated. And that led me to being asked to train different classes and eventually became a corporate trainer for them for years and helped people with their mindset training and motivation, as well as the sales training, kind of a combination of the sales piece and the mindset and motivation work. And that led me on such a journey that, and then I started my own thing almost 11 years ago. So I've been self-employed now doing my own little business, speaking and coaching for 11 years. And it's been quite an incredible journey.
Well, let me ask you about, you know, the juxtapose those two things. So you worked for bigger companies, you know, doing training for them. And tell us a little bit about that experience. And then let's transition to you decided to go out on your own, which is, I think, is probably pretty scary. But what was it like working for the, you know, bigger companies, being a, you know, a spokesperson, basically a trainer for them?
I really loved it. I loved the people I got to work with at those seasons of life. And because we were helping, I was mostly training salespeople to sell the programs. And so training them for their own mindsets and then the content and then helping them with understanding how to sell, right? And really being great in sales, in my opinion, is two things. One, you learn how to connect well with people. All humans have similar core needs: to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel valued, respected. And if we show up to serve, we have that kind of a mindset where we're like, I want to serve you. Like, what are your needs? And teach me about your needs and your life and what's up for you. That matched with that kind of a heart and mindset with then the skill of asking more questions is how you create really great success in sales, is you care about people. I think that six-letter word, C-A-R-E, is the most potent marketing strategy you can have for any kind of business. Or whether you're corporate employed or self-employed, you're asking to expand your influence, right? That's what you're looking to do. And so if you want to get promoted at your company, or you want to gain more clientele for your self-employed business or whatever you're up to in the world, it's you're in the relationship business. We all are. That's the heartbeat of business or of life, really. And so choosing to show up that way with intention and work on that skill set, you know, is how what I was then doing for that company and I now do for myself. And so, yeah, it was a great journey and I love training with those folks and we had a lot of great memories and I feel very fortunate. That definitely influenced my own success and it influenced me with skills and tools that I could go out and start my own business because I knew how to sell. I knew how to create connection and to seek to understand, right? One of Covey's core principles is really choosing into that was very, very much a blessing and helpful for me. So it's been a journey.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, but you said in 2010, you decided to go out on your own. What was behind that decision to go out on your own?
Well, the whole nest got shaken up as how that can happen sometimes is since there was a season of my life where I knew I had tapped out my growth where I was, you know, and I loved who I worked for and with, and we had great memories, but I started feeling already this sense of like, I knew I was a teacher and a trainer and I wanted to keep sharing. Like, I didn't know, I never saw like what I've created. It wasn't like I had this big vision, but truthfully, and I think because of the platform we're on, I can share this intimately, is I started to have these impressions at church where I would feel this feeling of teach principles. The word principles just kept showing up and showing up and showing up. And then a combination of things, I was at the time of my life, all in about 60 days, I got engaged. I'm not engaged or married now, but I got engaged at the time. And I chose to do a train the trainer year-long program, which is like an executive MBA, but for a trainer position. And then we moved forward on a new home and all of that. And I was diagnosed with an early cancer all in the same time frame.
Wow.
Right. So the whole nest got dumped on its head. And then about a month into being married, a month into new home, into a new ward, new area, and a month into radiation treatments for this cancer experience, then my corporate comfy six-figure gig goes away.
Oh, wow.
They gave me a choice. I could go back to selling or I could take a severance package, but they were doing a reorganization. And so there was a whole lot that just got shaken up at the time. But to tell you this, like, let me ask my intuition. Okay, I was asked if I can share sacred experience, but I'd had in the time when I got the diagnosis for the cancer, my fiance and at the time we went and met with my state president and bishop and got a blessing. And in this blessing, I was told and shared, my state president, who is still a dear friend to me to this day, I don't live in that area any longer, but he shared this like vision of me building my own thing. And I was still corporate employed at the time. That had not been shaken up yet. And I was like, what? Like, it didn't make sense to me. And he spoke some things over my life. And it was so funny a couple of years ago, and I hadn't seen him in years. A few years ago, it was a Friday evening. I was flying to Seattle to speak to a group on Saturday morning. It's a Friday night. We're sitting in the Salt Lake Airport, and I look over, and there's my state president, and went over and talked to him and just said, and I said, do you remember this blessing? And he's like, no, you know, and we just talked, but I'm like, I'm living this, you know, I'm here to fly, you know, to go do a paid speaking gig in Seattle for a company. And it was just this beautiful, so it's really been a combination of, it's definitely been God's grace and favor. It's been my willingness to do the work and us together creating an experience where I really, really just love helping humans have self-confidence and skills and tools to create a more intentional life, right? Where we're more aware about, like, who am I being in the world? Who am I being at home? What do I want to create? And what are the skills then and tools to help do that, both personally and, say, sales and marketing wise, that I help people do? So I mostly help people grow their business, whether they're a side hustle, self-employed, real estate agent, fellow coach. I coach lots of coaches and help them do the same thing. It's just been quite a journey, you know, but nothing that, I know that's quite of a long answer, but truly at the time, I kind of got shaken out of the nest where I could go back to selling or I could take a severance package. And there was so much change in my life. And, you know, you hear the word cancer, it's definitely a wake up call. And I just remember spending some time in Mill Creek Canyons, close here to Salt Lake, and just in the woods where I often like to get grounded. And I just felt like, all right, God, what are we doing? And where are we going? And I just knew in my heart, I was a teacher. I knew this calling had been on my life and I wanted it and I desired it. And so I had no idea how to grow a business. I had no clue, but I knew how to connect with people. And I just got out there and started connecting and selling and started, you know, making some sales here and there. But definitely that first year, year and a half, it was real tight. There wasn't a lot of extra movies and shopping for cute clothes or handbags. It was definitely like a season of really a faith walk, you know, of building and growing this thing.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. That's often the way it happens. You look back and things that look disastrous turn us a direction that turns out to be the right direction. And before we move on, though, your health, how are you now? How is the cancer?
I'm healthy. Yeah, I'm healthy. And that was 11 years ago. So I'm in a great place and thankful for that all the time. It was that trial, truthfully, had more to do with emotional, like dealing with the fears that that comes up with. You know, the physicality is there, but it was more so about the mental and emotional fears that came up. But I do believe, you know, there's a quote by Napoleon Hill. He's the author of the classic book, Think and Grow Rich, which was a massive change to me early on in my career. If you've never read that book, all of you, read that book. It's so good. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, but he has a statement in his material where he says, with every adversity is a seed of equal or greater opportunity. And when you think of that, I love the imagery of a seed, right? Because a seed is like, it's a powerful seed, yet it still requires our willingness to take action to activate the seed, right? How we're gonna focus on it, how we're gonna nourish it, how we're gonna navigate and move forward. And I do think, yeah, that adversity, it was definitely a big thing, but it was such a catalyst for so much growth and really brought out some gifts and strengths and things for myself that I'm really, really thankful for.
Hmm. Let's talk about some of the principles. Lighthouse Principles was the name of the company, right? Still is, I believe.
Yeah.
So you're helping people out. I think this might be a difficult thing for people because we all want success now and we want monetary success now. And a lot of things, as I've watched over some of your trainings, that first things first, really, I guess to use a Franklin Covey thing, that perhaps the monetary increase isn't the first thing you should worry about. More worry about yourself and where you're going, and then hopefully the money will come. Am I on the right track with some of the things that you share with your trainings?
Yeah, I would think it's not either or, right? Because to be able to sustain a business, you do need to bring in revenue, right? I mean, I think we have to be aware of that. Yet having your heart in something, everything is energy. And I do think that trumps, right? I think that our heart and our passion and the willingness, it's gonna help you stay a little longer. It's gonna help you work through the challenges and the discouragement is knowing that purpose and that why and that why you're doing the thing. And then yes, it's working on the sales. A lot of people, the reason why they hire me is because either they're afraid of sales or selling, right? They're shrinking from it, or maybe they're willing to, but they don't have a system or a sales funnel to help get people through and keep a consistency to their income when they're self-employed. And so it's yes and yes, it's both. As we work on the mindset and self-care, that's lesson number one. Every single time I work with a private client or I run mostly group coaching now, we lead out with self-care heavily about time for body, mind, heart, and spirit. There's actually on my website a free guide called the Self-Care Guide that you can find at tiffanyspeaks.com. Just click the tab Free Resources. And that guide will walk you through looking at yourself in that holistic manner, body, mind, heart, and spirit, that you're doing things that nourish your spirit, that nourish your mindset, that nourish your heart or your joy, that nourish your physicality and your body. And the willingness to say, I'm going to put the fuel in the tank, right? Because often when people are saying, I'm ready to grow, which is why we're working together, there's the three S's of growth: self-care, systems, and support. And so it's looking at having those things that you're doing them together. So yes, for sure, passion, self-care, energy, mindset work is really, really matters. And we also want to be working on the business side of the business, where people can find you, that you're clear on your branding, your messaging, that you have a place where, oh, and there's a way that people can get connected to the gift that you're up to in the world.
Yeah, I think so many times we've all purchased something, and I purchased some things where I felt like I wasn't sold anything. It was a, you know, it felt great. Other times where I feel like, okay, stop, you're just trying to, you know, force me on something. I think sales brings fear and trepidation to both the business owner and also us sometimes as customers. As you're working with the folks that you coach, how do you help them through that, I guess, that fear and trepidation? Because obviously, if you have something good to share, then, you know, you shouldn't have so much fear, I guess. We shouldn't, but we do.
You know what is such a great, like, anointment, if you will, or just like a great centering or calming influence to that fear, is to come back to service and that you have a service mindset. And when you show up, and there's a phrase that Stephen Covey has in his book, The Seven Habits, where he'd say, diagnose, then prescribe, as a way of teaching sales. Because sometimes you're right, like, if we just come at someone like, hey, how are you? Buy this. You know, that energy is like, whoa, for both people. But if I show up in a connection with you or online in my languaging and the scripting that I'm using there is more about engaging you and seeking to understand you and like, hey, teach me what your needs are. And I'm gaining trust, right? And I'm gaining awareness and insight. And from there, then it's like I can make an offer if there's an appropriate fit there to say, hey, well, I can suggest a few things that might help. After I look at it first, I want to gain the right or earn the right to share an offer, a program, a product, a service with someone after I've learned about who they are and what their needs are and what, you know, where they're at. And if it's an alignment, then from there sharing, you know, here's a few options or here's what I'd recommend based on what you've shared with me. I think it feels good. The way that I teach sales, there's a process called the 5 Gates of Closing Sales. You can also find that on my site. There's a process of what you're asking, right, versus what you're telling. And people buy emotionally but decide logically. And so the gift of that process is you don't have to, quote, sell anyone anything. You just learn how to ask better questions, and they will sell themselves if it's a fit into what you're offering, versus like, hey, I've got to manipulate someone. Because that's a lot of where our fears are at, is like, ooh, I don't want to be salesy, gross. I don't want to be manipulative, dishonest, disingenuous, right? Because none of us want that. And especially as humans, we really care what other people think of us, right? Some, not a lot, but most humans at some level do care to some degree or another what other people think of us. We want to be liked. There's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is that fear keeps us paralyzed sometimes. Like, oh, I don't want to bother someone. They know what I do. I've put up one whole Facebook post about it, right? Or they can track me down. A lot of people are very reactive versus, no, proactively nourish your relationships. I have tons of free content on my site, YouTube channel, my podcast, where you can go learn a lot of those pieces. If you're listening and you're saying, yeah, I want to go deeper in that piece to help you, those resources are there.
Yeah, and they're great. I went through them and I really enjoyed it. And I liked, you know, what you had there, especially the self-care and those other steps were really interesting and really helpful. You know, you help and coach a lot of people. You yourself are very successful in what you've been doing. To what do you attribute the success that you have in what you've been doing?
Well, again, I'm going to, if I can I say like two or three things?
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of one thing?
Absolutely.
And I'm saying this because in certain environments, I share this as well when I feel prompted to, as well as space. You know, certain corporate environments, there's a sensitivity to that. But honestly, I have a statement in my life, and this might sound cheesy to you, but it's true, is that I love to say that God is my CEO, mm-hmm. and we are in a partnership. And so truly, I feel like my business, right? Marianne Williamson says it this way, your business is your ministry. It's a form of ministering to people. It's not the only way, but if you're in business, you're providing a product or service to meet the needs of someone else. But then the point that we have influence to is our relationship and how we show up there. And so for me, in that experience is really, I've had a very God-guided experience. I regularly pray over my clientele. I pray over my programs. I pray to be led to who I can serve. And I know that can sound a little cheesy or cliche, but it's just my truth. And the reality is that there's this phrase, it's framed here in my office of me on a stage speaking to a large convention in Las Vegas. And there's a slide behind me, and the slide says, use me, God, use me. Mm-hmm. And that comes from an Oprah Winfrey thing years back. She was on an interview and being asked about how she created her whole massive success. And she said, I would wake up every day and pray the same prayer. Use me, God, use me. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm not perfect at that, I am definitely committed and in a relationship and partnership with God. And it's been guided in that way, matched with I've had a brain that's conscious, constantly committed to learning and reading and growth and willing to work on myself. Myself is my own personal growth, as well as my own learning and capacity. And finally, I would say that I've just really made relationships my priority, and I've nourished them. I'm not, again, perfect at that principle too, but I teach that a lot. It's like nourish your network, or like we've said, you're in the relationship business, and help people feel seen and heard and valued and important. Send them a text, a handwritten note, you know, kind deeds and things, you know, basic principles we know from the gospel really, but just applied in real life or into our business life. And so I would say that kind of triple effect for me has really helped create the successes. I've been anchored in God, which is in purpose. And I've been a constant and committed learner, like willing to learn and improve and learn new things, matched with then choosing to make, you know, the heartbeat of my business be about adding value and about connecting with people and taking good care of my relationships. And if you take good care of your relationships take care of your business. Mm-hmm. Right? So much of my business is referral based. You know, one client will promote me to someone else in their group, or then they'll hire me and then they'll promote me somewhere else, you know? And so, and again, to be so clear, not perfect at that, but I'm sure committed to value and nurture those relationships.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is I helped out with Self-Reliance for a while. And one of the big statements there is, you know, God cares about both our spiritual and temporal needs, and there's really no difference to him. He wants us to be successful. And it sounds like you've really tapped into that, which I think is a truth. God is concerned about us, not just our spiritual needs, but they're heavily involved with all of our temporal needs. What do you think about that?
I think that's yes, absolutely. As we're his children, right? As we're taught and as we read, and as we probably feel in our own hearts at times where we've had those witnesses. And the reality is, as any parent, they're going to care about both their child's emotional needs and as well as their physical, you know, needs as well. I do think that, you know, different quotes that's been said, it's like, hey, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you, and meeting somewhere in the middle of that where we also have to be, you know, the phrase, God can't move a parked car. It's much easier for us if we're willing to take action and get in the flow. And one of my, I would say, key principles that I teach often and that has helped me so much is my willingness to take imperfect action, right? Because often where humans get stuck is, oh, I got to be perfect, right? I got to get this mastered. I have to have this perfected before I'm willing to share it or grow it or put it out there. And that's simply not just true. I believe we're wired for progression, right? We're here to progress. And progress, as it's been said, equals happiness. And if we're progressing, that's awesome. But my very first workshop, Brian, in February of 2010, so coming up, it'll be 11 years in February, my very first little workshop, you know, one day workshop at the Grand America Hotel in downtown Salt Lake, rented a tiny little boardroom, right? Area, small room. And I had 37 people signed up to come to my very first workshop, and it was called Success Strategies. How's that for a name? I just laugh now because I'm like, oh, that's, I just, yeah, it's fine. But it's like, okay, But, you know, you start somewhere. Well, here's the thing. And some people are like, oh, that's amazing, you know, for your first workshop. Until you know that 30 of those 37 people were my family and friends doing me a really big solid to cheer me on and support me in this new beginning. And so, but we start somewhere, and I've now hosted my own live events, upwards of 1,000 people in a room. But I would never have what I have today and what I've created and still creating, because new seasons and new opportunities and a lot of pivoting this year. But I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I was still waiting to get my marketing perfect or to get, you know, my products perfect or myself feeling as confident as I'd like to be. You know what I'm saying? And so I think absolutely, the willingness, that's one of my favorite questions to ask you or ask anyone, is am I willing to take imperfect action towards the achievement of my goals? Because perfectionism, really, it's sneaky, but perfectionism is just dressed up fear. It's like fear in a nice handbag, right? But it's dressed up fear where we're like, well, I'm going to get ready 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 to launch the business or invite the person to listen to my presentation or talk with my boss or do the thing, is where often we get stuck in waiting, and waiting is a scam.
Tiffany, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. If people want to find out more, tiffanyspeaks.com, you'll find her information. She's on all of the platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. Check them out there. It's been so much fun to talk with you, and I really wish you all the best, Tiffany. Thank you so much for taking some time.
Thanks, friend. Thanks for adding so much value with what you're doing. It's been a joy to be with you and just appreciate all that you're doing. So thank you for having me.